Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. From Laval University in Quebec, we're going to learn about how polyphenols in blueberries increase physical activity and reduce body weight gain. We have about 9 other important studies, all from peer-reviewed journals, all from leading institutions showing you how to live a longer and healthier life. Also today, we have a guest. In the second part of our program, we have Dr. Beverly Rubick. Now, Dr. Rubick is going to talk about the dangers of 5G rollout, the adverse effects of wireless electromagnetic frequency on the environment, plant life, and human life, insects, and the soil. By the way, she's an internationally renowned biophysicist, and she is also the head of a laboratory doing research in California. And she was a professor at Temple University and got her doctorate from University of California at Berkeley. And she was the one who got the whole research of biofield accepted by the Office of Alternative Medicine at the National Institutes of Health. So she knows her stuff, and we're going to hear from her. Also today, from our video selection, which you can watch, we're going to hear from a California couple who is blaming the power company for cutting the electricity for 30 hours, and that caused them not to have any power in their home, and as a result, they had no way of putting out the fires, so it burned down. This was a short interview on Tucker Carlson last night. I watched it, and I thought, okay, I'd like for people in the audience to give their response. So this is one of those talkbacks where you're going to hear what someone has to say and watch them, and then you can call in and give your response. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888 when we get to that. Also, we are continually told that we have the best science, best medicine, and therefore the best public health care system in the world. Nothing can be further from the truth. We're dead last of all developed nations in infant mortality, meaning that more babies die in developed country, in the United States, than any other developed country up to the year of one, and then in pregnancy as well. What are we doing? Could that flu shot that the pregnant woman was encouraged to take, could that have contributed? And we're going to compare it to Japan, because Japan has recommendations for vaccines but does not mandate the MMR vaccine. In fact, they don't even use it in Japan. So how do we compare? We're about double the size of Japan. They have around 130. Last time I checked, 136 million citizens. We have around 332 million citizens total. So we're about, 60% larger than they are. So why don't we have a lot better healthcare system? Those are the things I know we'll have time to get to. I'm not sure how much more time we have. I've written a commentary. If we don't have time, I'll save that for another day. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. And this is important because it deals with something I encourage you to consume all the time, polyphenols. Raspberries, blackberries, boysenberries, gooseberries, pomegranate, noji berries. All these are very important for your health. Well, in a recent study, they found that certain compounds in blueberries can help increase physical activity and reduce weight gain. And they said that one of the goals of the study was to pinpoint which polyphenols in blueberries are responsible for the berries' positive effects on metabolism. That meant that if you're overweight and you were using blueberries, a pint a day, that would be very good for you. And so they looked at all the different anthocyanins, a type of flavonoid responsible for the vibrant color, red, purple, blue. And while other groups received proanthocyanins, another class of polyphenols that are known for their many health benefits. And that's why when you eat any of the berries, you're going to be really healthier than if you ate, let's say, crackers, buns, with hot dogs and hamburgers, etc. This is published in Nutri-Ingredients USA, and so get your blueberries, and it helps recolonize good gut microbiota, and it helps your glucose levels stabilize. It's good for diabetics, and it helps your metabolism. So women who are menopause and postmenopause who have a slowed metabolism and hence gain weight, even if you don't overeat, that'll help you as well. From the University of Warwick Medical School, which is in the United Kingdom, comes a study about vitamin B12 deficiency. It's linked to obesity during pregnancy. It's relatively straightforward. If you don't have enough vitamin B12, it impairs fat metabolism, and that encourages obesity, especially during pregnancy. So just make sure that you're getting at least 500 micrograms to 1 milligram of B12 per day. From the University of Toronto, depression is linked to nutrition in middle-aged and older Canadians. So your diet can put you at risk of depression. That's what it's saying. I remember, it was a long time ago. I had my own imprint with HarperCollins, a 10-book contract. And I did a book called The Food Mood Handbook. And I was using the science as well as clinical experience of a lot of physicians who were showing that when they change a person's diet from an unhealthy diet to a healthy diet, that it helped them overcome depression. Now, when you added in exercising, it really did the job. And to put a fine point on that, I did a clinical study with 500 individuals over a three-month period 3 years ago in New York City. We did it in June, July, and August. And to get into this study, you had to have medical confirmation of either having medically diagnosed and treated depression or anxiety disorders. There's no medicine in any of these studies. These are lifestyle and behavior modification programs, but exercise every day was a very important part of it. But so too was changing to a healthy plant-based diet, modified fasting, lots of juicing, and controlling the excitatory elements that come into the body like sugars, alcohol. And at the end of the study, we had a 93% improvement. And for a lot of people who actually, we filmed them, said that their depression or anxiety was completely gone and had been from like the third or fourth week into the study. And as a follow-up, we followed up 6 months later, and for those we were able to reach, it sustained itself. So that's good. So there is a food-mood connection. Eat good foods, healthy foods, clean foods, and have much better emotions. From the Department of Biotechnology, Graphic Air University in India, the reishi, that's R-E-I-S-H-I, medicinal mushroom, inhibits candida. Now, candida is actually a natural yeast overgrowth in the body, but when you have a healthy diet, you don't have a lot of it. When you have sugar in the diet, alcohol in the diet, refined carbohydrates in the diet, you do. And it can overgrow. And then you have all kinds of problems because it gets into the bloodstream, goes to the brain, causing brain fatigue, brain fog. So in this case, using the reishi mushroom made an enormous difference because it brought it down. But by the way, garlic does, onions, ginger, lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, all do the same thing. And from the University of Queensland comes a study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, what you can do before menopause to ease hot flashes. And it's relatively straightforward here. They had four countries with 21,000 women who were about 50 years of age, and they suggested the two best things you could do would be to stop smoking if you were smoking and lose weight. I would agree with that. However, having done the most comprehensive study to date published on, again, a one-year clinical study with 500 women who were menopause or postmenopause, it's far more than that. Exercise is very important. Also helping with hormone rebalancing and nutrients in the body. A whole protocol we were able to, you know, like Vitex and Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Passion Flower, B-complex was very important, calcium, magnesium at high levels. So there are things you can do beyond just losing weight, but exercising, meditation, and modified fasting are very, very important as well. And proteoglycans, what are they? Well, they're naturally occurring, but in a very small amount of your bone, about 1% of your bone mass. But when you have them in adequate amounts, they help you resist fractures. There was a study at the University of Texas, San Antonio, that talked about how about half of all women in the United States will suffer a bone fracture due to osteoporosis. And the incidence of this condition is greater than that of heart attacks and strokes and breast cancer combined. So it's a big deal. It's a multi-billion dollar year industry. We right now are seeing something that I've never seen before in any study I've ever done. We're able to remineralize bones more than any medication could and anything nutritionally could. This is a part of my anti-aging study, which has less than 2 weeks to go, and it's complete, at least the first on-campus part. Then there's a follow-up of 30 days. But we're seeing remineralization. I'll hold off on the actual statistics until I get the final readout in another 2 weeks. But you don't want to have bone fragility, because then you're going to have bone fractures, and that's not good. So one of the things you can do is use chondroitin sulfate, chondroitin, C-H-O-N-D-R-O-I-T-I-N. By the way, that's a type of sugar protein in proteoglycans, and that's what you want to take to prevent osteoporosis. So glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate, the two taken together with vitamin D3 and vitamin K as directed, and that will make a big difference in helping you. Then make sure you're doing power walking. That also helps. And taking about 800 milligrams of magnesium and calcium from citrate a day, that also helps. And the older you get, the more you need to do that. And finally, from Bournemouth and Queen's Universities in Ireland comes a study about music therapy reducing depression in children and adolescents. Well, that's good news. So you need to look at having the right type of music, not highly excitatory music, but more calming music. And it's a form of music therapy. There's a lot of good videos on the internet that offer music therapy. A lot of it's like what you would find if you went into a spa, the relaxing, soothing music. And by the way, helping people get to sleep, I had someone who had tried everything they told me. They'd been to all the holistic doctors. They'd taken first the meds, didn't work. Then they went to holistic doctors, still didn't work. And they said, I don't know what else to do. I said, have you tried sound? What kind of sound? Rain hitting a tin roof. No. Well, got a CD of rain hitting a tin roof and put them right to sleep. So there's a lot of different approaches to these conditions that can make a difference. Oh, and by the way, for the men in the audience who have a low testosterone level, your level will improve if you're overweight or obese after 12 weeks of exercising. That's the latest study on male sex hormone improving in their balance from Tsukuba and Rusubu Universities in Japan, two university studies. on helping men get back their proper amount of their male sex hormones. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Noll. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to go to this couple from California. I just want you to hear what they have to say. It's a tragic story. But then I don't want to give my opinion. I want you to call in and share your opinion. Back in a moment.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch along lonely time.
Tonight, a couple from California will join us from the home they lost, and they'll tell you who's to blame for that, because someone is to blame for that. It wasn't an act of God. Also, the president backed his former press secretary's run on Dancing with the Stars. That run has come to an end, but Sean Spicer joins us tonight. What did the president tell him? Companies have failed. While they say it could have been saved if they'd had electricity. They join us tonight from the wreckage of their home in Santa Clarita, California. Amy and David, first of all, I'm so sorry about what happened to your home. I'm glad that you are alive. For our viewers at home who aren't familiar with what happened to the Tick Fire, I'm hoping that our camera can pull back a little bit and give some perspective of where you are. I think you're in front of your home, right?
Yes, in front of our garage, yes.
And near the front door. Is it gone? It's leveled?
It's a total loss.
It's a total loss, yeah. Yes.
And you believe that, looks like a sheep there, that you believe that the fact the utility cut power made it impossible to fight the fire. Is that correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yes. Yeah, they cut the power at about 9:30 in the morning. And when we've been telling Edison, Southern California Edison, that when they cut our power, they leave us vulnerable and defenseless because we can't use our well, because our well is powered by electricity, and we can't pump water to our hoses, to our home. And it's been happening for, you know, weeks now. The one before the fire, we were without power for over 30 hours.
Yes.
That's horrifying. So the utility cuts power to prevent forest fires. Fires happen anyway, and when they do, you can't respond because you have no power. What does this say about how the state of California and the utilities feel about you as citizens?
Well, when I called Edison before this fire happened, it's falling on deaf ears. I was trying to explain to them how it affects us. I mean, we can't even use the restroom. We can't flush a toilet. We have two different meters, which means two different power sources, one for the home and one for our well and water tank. So to be able to power both the home and the well and water tank is very difficult. And we didn't even know these power outages were going to be occurring until I found out about it early October. And they had recently upgraded our systems. We have all new power lines from here to the main road. All the hardware on the telephone poles had been replaced, and half of the telephone poles have been replaced. So we assumed that, great, okay, we're getting some attention here in these rural areas, we'll have power, you know, well, like we always have. We didn't know the plan was for them to also turn off our power as well, which, yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened.
So, I mean, well, because it is the United States of America, so you would expect that in 2019 you would have electrical power, right? Because this country has electricity now. Right. So what would your message be to the governor of your state, Gavin Newsom?
It needs to end. I mean, most times I would think, you know, they try and keep the power on no matter what, and now they're shutting it off proactively, they say, you know, to keep us safe. And when the fire came through, we couldn't use our hose to fight the fire or even hose down our house.
Well, and my message would be, people in emergency situations need as much help from as many people as possible. And having a reliable power source is vital in emergency situations, whether it's a situation like ours, where we could have put the fire out when it first got started, people with medical equipment in their homes, people that have to evacuate and need light to evacuate in the middle of the night. I mean, there's so many variables, and that's the reason why we're here tonight, is to try to make a difference to help people in the future, to put an end to this, because our understanding is the long-term plan is at least 5 to 6 years that Edison plans on doing this, as well as other power companies in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. So how long can you endure this? How long till you move to Idaho or Montana like so many other people from California? I'm serious. Are you going to stick it out?
No,
we have had these discussions as friends of ours have had these discussions about leaving. You know, we love Santa Clarita Valley where we live. We love the people here. Mm-hmm. It's so family friendly. Just all the support we've gotten post-fire is proof of that.
And we're trying to raise our kids here.
We want to finish raising our kids here. They're two are in high school. Our youngest is 11. And we don't want to uproot them like that at this point. But absolutely, we want
to. I hope you can stay. I mean, the state needs normal people, even though they are going out of their...
Okay, here is the situation. I'd like for you to address it. There has been a fire in that area every year for the last 6 years. And there is no place in the entire state of California that's safe from fires. It's on fire alert 12 months a year. They want to stay there. They want to take their home that was, if you're watching this, and by the way, you can watch, write it down. You can watch any of the videos when you hear them by watching them by going to youtube.com/PRNFM. Again, youtube.com/PRNFM. And so they want to rebuild. Down in Louisiana, people lost their homes. They want to rebuild. Down in Brownsville, Texas, they want to rebuild. Over in Oklahoma, they want to rebuild. Very few people want to move. I walked up and down the street here and asked people. Nobody wants to move, no matter what the crisis is. Even when there's flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, when there's drought, nobody wants to move. Why? What would you suggest to these people? I'd like to hear your answer. Give us a call at 888-874-4888. Why do we have such reluctance to get out of harm's way and move to a place that's sustainable? While you're thinking about that, I'm going to go through some of the other things I feel are important that we're not addressing in the news. And by the way, for those of you going to my Facebook, we're posting today how you can get all of the stuff that's on my personal Facebook, even though it's filled up. And I want to see that permanently there. And either Jesse or Glenn will get that for you, because I have thousands and thousands of people who come saying, I'd like to get on and I can't get on. But just to give you an idea of what I posted just today, so that you're at the head of everything. There's a photograph of the people from My Lai, and there's an article entitled, From a Vietnam War Vet, We Were Baby Killers for the U.S. Imperialism. That's true. I don't believe that we should shame those vets, because many of them didn't know that this was going on, and not everyone participated by any means. But there is a legacy of what happens when we go into a country, and it's worth reading the article. Also, Bolivia is just the latest U.S.-backed coup in Latin America. The Bolivian president, Evo Morales, resigned at gunpoint and had to flee to Mexico. There's a whole set of articles on this, because this is just the next in a whole long litany of American regime changes to bring in an absolute nut job. The guy who took his place, you've never heard of him, but he is a multimillionaire, ultra-Orthodox Christian. He's coming from that fanatical Christian base. It's extremely dangerous. Also, I have an article, our educational system doesn't test intelligence, it tests your memory. Now think of that. Every school in America, just about, they only want you to remember things, and then they're paid for the test. Everybody profits if you take a test, but there is none of this involving in real higher learning. Also, from scientists discovered that fasting triggers stem cell regeneration, fights cancer, and protects your heart. And then an interesting article, did these bankers destroy Tesla to stop his gift of free energy for all? J.P. Morgan, Otto Warburg, and Rockefeller. It's an interesting article. Photographs of NASA capturing a volcano erupting beneath the Milky Way. And then an in-depth discussion about the coup in Bolivia by Anna Perempel. Also, people who constantly complain are harmful to your health. And then we have, how about this? I thought this was important. I thought the mainstream media would be all over this. They're not. This is from a Professor Jackson Kernahan. Quote, I unironically embrace the bashing of rural Americans. They are, as a group, are bad people who have made bad life decisions. Some, I assume, are good people, but this nostalgia for some imagined pastoral way of life is stupid, and we should shame people who aren't pro-city. That's the University of California, Berkeley instructor, calling people who live in rural America bad people who deserve uncomfortable lives and who should be shamed. Wonder if he ever thought about where all this food came from. Wow. There are people like that at Berkeley. There are people like that everywhere today. The entire identity politics groups. Think of that. Shaming people who have supported everyone in America's history by growing their food and doing a lot more than that. So, your thoughts on that as well, but I posted that. Then a very interesting photograph. It shows Sydney, Australia, major city, by the way, big, millions of people, and it's completely surrounded by bushfires. And so hundreds of thousands of people are told to evacuate. It looks like it's just going to, it said in the article it could destroy as many as 100,000 plus homes. Anything about that in the papers today? Is that important? Global warming? Nope. But it's here. Then you see, I was actually at, I think one of the most beautiful cities in the world is Venice. And I've seen it in the summer when it's got all the tourists, and I see it in the winter when very few tourists. But this is a picture of a person standing in a submerged St. Mark's Basilica. And for some reason, who knows why, the Italian government didn't get the message that the whole city was going to be inundated with water and get these priceless antiquities out of harm's way. Nothing. All the furniture, paintings, everything. And there's a guy with water up to his knees. Wow. Then also carcinogens found in 39 Long Island water districts, and I show where they are. This is from the Citizens Campaign for the Environment. And then a judge orders the Child Protective Services to not have any contact with kids that it removed because he found them to be wrong. And by the way, there is a need for documentaries and exposés of how corrupt Child Protective Services has become. Also, I like to put up motivating statements, and this is, to be kind is important, more so than being right. Many times, what people need is not a brilliant mind that speaks, but a special heart that listens. It's about empathy. The article is about empathy. Another picture from outside, that Venice finally declares a state of emergency after a record tide and floods. And here's a question. Were they not aware that this was coming? Of course they were aware. Why didn't they do anything? Well, why should we? We can wait till disaster hits. And then here's it's a sad picture. The evidence pours in, poverty getting much worse. It's a man sitting on a bench with his little dog, and they're homeless. And poverty is now epidemic in America. Then there's a Chilean being repressed by the fascists, and of course, Trump, why should that surprise anybody, supports the coup. Also, we have the deep state and vaccines, beautiful pictures of trees, with, and then Turkey's proxy army is looting, kidnapping, and executing Kurds at random. And it's warmer in Alaska than in Alabama today. And here's what's in aluminum. I listed the ingredients. Neurotoxins, causes autoimmune disorders, affects the central nervous system, linked to brain damage, linked to sudden infant death syndrome, linked to cancer, causes seizures, accumulates in the brain tissue, causing more damage each dose. And all the vaccines have that. There's an emaciated, starving child. Hunger kills Yemen's children in silence. No one hears. And then a homeschool family sends 7 kids to college all by the age of 12. Well, there's a case what worked. And anyhow, those are just some of the nearly 100 stories and videos and posters. And want to double world food production, return the land to small farmers. I have that on here from the ecologists. So that's what's up here. And I'm asking Jesse, Glenn, to address this so it makes it easy for you all to be able to download all this. You don't have to be on the, there's a limit, I don't know why, 5,000. But for the millions who want to see all this every day, and it's all new every single day, they'll show you how to do it. Here are some other stories. This is from the Niels Bohr, who won the Nobel Prize for his work on the structure of the atom and chemical reactions. How wonderful that we have met with a paradox. Now we have some hope of making progress. What is the paradox? A French cancer surgeon found and published the statistics showing human papillomavirus, the Gardasil vaccine, linked to an increase in cervical cancer rates after years of decline due to pap smears. So, the paradoxical effect of an anti-human papillomavirus vaccine, Gardasil, is actually increasing cervical cancer rates, and that's what it was supposed to protect us against. And this was from Dr. Nicole Delpine, oncologist, surgeon, board certified. That's a very good study. Again, it's published nowhere. You wouldn't know that even exists. And then we also have another study that millions in the United States lost someone who couldn't afford treatment. An article by Dan Witters, and it says 34 million adults know someone who died after not getting treatments. 58 million adults report inability to pay for needed drugs in past year, and there's no improvement in any of this. More than 13% of American adults, or about 34 million people, know at least one friend or family member in the past 5 years who died after not receiving needed medical treatment because they were unable to pay for it. Well, let me give you the long and short of this and give you a very positive solution. Because the people like Bernie Sanders, who wants to give people universal health care, and I appreciate that and I support him in that, but not everyone wants to. He's one of the few. But he and Elizabeth Warren, but they want the taxpayers to pay for it. And it could go anywhere on the low side from $21 trillion to as high as $55 trillion. And we have done an article, and you can read it and share it with them. We've already sent it to them, that shows that they're trying to protect the insurance industry. They don't want to diminish their profits because Elizabeth Warren gets money from the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industries, as many of the other candidates do. So what we've done is we've taken the actual cost by the manufacturers of a 30-day generic supply of a drug. We've looked at the percentage of markup, and sometimes for the top 10 drugs, we just selected the top 10 drugs sold in America, the percentage of markup over the base cost could be anywhere from 3 to 50,000% increase. For example, it costs 10 cents to manufacture a 30-day supply of a particular drug, and they're selling for $200. So you got to understand that this is the biggest ripoff of all, and the media is not touching this. So if you simply gave them a 200% markup, which is a legitimate markup, and you got rid of all the rest and took the excess profit out and got rid of the insurance industry, which shouldn't be there anyhow, and got rid of the medical malpractice and had no-fault malpractice, and got rid of all defensive medicine costs, got rid of fraud and waste, then you would save $1.7 trillion per year. So we're going to save $1.7 trillion a year, and therefore nobody's taxes will go up, and everyone who wanted to be helped would be, and we would actually have more doctors because part of that would be paying for doctors' education, but they could not then gouge people on pricing, and quality time spent with patients would be increased, introducing holistic complementary medicine into the medical curriculum, et cetera, and a big program on prevention. So there is a different way so people don't have to die. Big Meat doesn't want you to know about this new disease. And there's an article by Martha Rosenberg from Op-Ed News, and it talks about the African swine fever caused by the African swine fever virus. It's a fourth of the entire population of pigs in the world have died from it in just this year. Did you know that? Half of all the pigs in China. And yet Big Meat has managed to keep it out of the news. The only mainstream stories most people have read that touch on the African swine fever deal with China's pork reserves, like the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They don't know a thing about the disease. And it originated in East Africa and reached the Eastern European area in 2007, where it's remained. And the outbreak in China last year, in which half of the country's pigs have died, another million were culled. And it's been in Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, North Korea, and Philippines. Now let's go to something I've been talking about recently, Occam's razor. Occam, of course, was a theologian from the 14th century and philosopher. And he believed that the razor is cutting away all the nonsense, go right to the point. And that's why I came up with the notion of never confuse the complexity of a problem with the simplicity of a solution. Then give up pork. We don't need it. So if the governments of these countries, especially China, says no more pork, and instead eat grains, eat beans, eat legumes, they're going to have a healthier population. You're not going to have these epidemics. That's how easy it is. So that's another story that isn't being addressed. And also from Natural Blaze, good publication, by the way, we highly recommend it, Michael Snyder, officials are using the word disaster to describe the widespread crop failures happening all over America. Yeah, we've been talking about that for the last year. And yet, because you can buy crops from other countries, you just pay more for it. We don't think it's a problem. So our immediacy is, I want my cherries, I want my grapes, I want my blueberries 12 months a year, and I want them when I want them. But what happens when your own country's farmlands are inundated with water, flooding out that year's crop and preventing the next year's from being planted in a timely manner? So then, are you going to look at maybe changing the way you look at food, getting it grown locally? And by the way, the future is hydroponics. Let me state that again. The future of food is hydroponics. And because you can grow 3,000% more using hydroponics than you could in a normal circumstance in an outdoor field. If you were to grow in a 75-foot long and 40-foot wide hydroponic house, that's equivalent to 16 acres grown outside. You don't have the weather problems. You don't have the water problems. It's the future. It's just going to take us a long time, like anything else, to get it right. So the question is, now did anybody decide that they'd like to offer their opinion? I'd like to hear your opinion about the couple that they're not changing. They're you know, they want to stay. They want to rebuild. Even though there's absolute certainty there are going to be more fires, and they've already said for the next 6 to 7 years, there's going to be these constant blackouts. No callers? Okay. Well, I'll hold my own thoughts until someone decides they want to call in and share theirs. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our guest in just a moment. Please stay with us. Just a little bit more. I posted on my Facebook today an article by my Max Blumenthal and Ben Norton about Bolivia's coup is led by a Christian fascist paramilitary leader and millionaire with the United States support. By the way, his name is Luis Fernando Camacho. He's a far right-wing fascist. And he took over the country. And now he says he wants to purge the indigenous footprint, meaning the native people of Bolivia are going to be rounded up and then dealt with, because he made that a very important and emphatic point. And he was supported by Colombia, Brazil, and the Venezuelan opposition. I'll do more on this on an upcoming program where we have some people from Bolivia, and I'll try to get the person who fled the country, Eva Morales, on to talk about it. So now we go over and say hello, as I mentioned earlier, to Dr. Beverly Rubick. That's R-U-B-I-K. She's out there in Emeryville, California, and she is a renowned, internationally respected biophysicist investigating the role of consciousness in the physical world and complementary and alternative medicine, particularly the role of the human biofield. And nice to have you with us today.
Pleasure.
As you know, we have been covering the human and environmental health risks associated with wireless EMF radiation and the new 5G technology regularly. Last time you were on the program, we focused on 5G and EMF adverse effects on human health. Today, if you would please, I'd like to focus on what we might expect from global-wide coverage of 5G technology and its likely effects on the environment and the soil, insect life, and even water. And we hear more about the dangers of 5G on human health. However, there's also scientific evidence for us to be deeply concerned about its effects on ecosystems and the environment, in particular the future of agriculture. So please lay out for us the case of the scientific evidence that the 5G will have on an enormous deleterious effect on the environment and may adversely affect and alter life as we know it for the future. The forum is yours.
Yes, we can expect global environmental change if 5G goes as planned, because no living thing will be able to avoid exposure. 24/7, 365, they're planning to put some 40,000 satellites now in space, in addition to millions of cell antennas all over the earth. So that means every organism is going to be exposed. We have a limited number of experiments and observations from, for example, the orientation and navigation of bees and birds. Really affects them. And gardeners like myself, looking at bees, their behavior is sluggish. They miss the flowers. They can't smell. Their learning is affected. Their sense of smell is affected. Bird watchers notice that birds are never seen near cell phone towers in regions where they used to be prolific. And there are studies on mice near cell phone base stations that show subsequent generations have less and less offspring, and suddenly infertility that's irreversible. So we can expect major ecological havoc from 5G. We already see it from 4G.
Let's go through, for people who have not heard you talk before, give us the main consequences you believe we'll be experiencing from the 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, and now 5G.
Well, I believe 1G is gone, but we're on 2G, 3G, and 4G, and the escalation of and proliferation of the numbers of wireless devices in our lives. Right now, most people have a cell phone, a Wi-Fi modem. There are more and more cell phone towers in our environment from 4G. And already we have an epidemic of new disorders from ADD, ADHD, fibromyalgia, sleep disorders, fatigue, restlessness, other neurological problems, and so-called functional illness. And nobody links it with this, but if you stop or mitigate your use of these devices, you notice you feel better. That's one thing I've noticed. I used to use a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard because they come with computers. And going back to wireless, my heart palpitations are gone. So with 5G, we're going to see an escalation of these illnesses and, of course, of millions of antennas and the Internet of Things. The numbers of wireless devices in our lives is expected to exponentially increase. And self-driving cars, and et cetera. So all of that is going to be exacerbated. Plus, new frequencies that go beyond 4G, the millimeter waves, which also have their own biological consequences on us and other life forms. So we can expect things to get worse, not better, with the implementation of 5G if it's going to be wireless. If we move to fiber optic, however, which is wired 5G, we could reduce these problems. So we could have our technology and be safe, but it requires a change of plans.
Can you name me an instance in human history, at least in the United States, our history, where given the opportunity to do the right thing for the citizens, the environment, versus doing the right thing for themselves with power and money, that someone turned a technology towards the right choice and moral choice rather than the selfish and proprietary choice? Can you name me such an instance?
I can't think of any, Gary.
Okay, well,
it's amazing.
This is what
we've always looked toward the money.
That's correct. We look to what conveniences we have. I just played a segment, I don't know if you were on the air and heard it, where a California couple unfortunately had their house burned down, and the whole idea was the power company's at fault, and therefore we're holding them responsible. Now we're going to rebuild. And I'm thinking, well, what responsibility do you have to know that you're in a non-sustainable environment where this is going to reoccur over and over again? And it has for the last 10 years. The last 2 years have been really devastating, thousands of homes burned. And yet you're not looking at the environment you're in. You're not looking, can it sustain life? Well, if you're not looking at, can you be healthy and be around wireless electricity, with all the schools now with Wi-Fi, and the BBC did an excellent commentary, and it was about 22 minutes long, where they took a meter into a school, and every single one of those computers the kids were using, the moment you walked up to where a kid would be about maybe 18 inches away, their head would be, the meter just went right off the charts, showing these were dangerous. And then they talked about what this could do to the brain. Not a single thing happened because that's special. No one's kids stopped going to that school. The schools didn't change. The schools didn't take those Wi-Fis out. Every airplane you get in, every single airplane today, you got Wi-Fi, you got wireless. Now, that means not only are you affected by that wireless under your seat, you're affected by all the other wireless on that plane because it's a very small environment. No one complains. They want their wireless when they want it. So I'm looking at human nature as being the obstacle, with the compounding and enabling factor being the unmitigated greed and the lack of moral equivalency from people who are supposed to be there to guide their technologies in ways that is not assaultless, like all the major industries from Apple and Google. Everyone, every industry is equally involved. They're all rushing towards the gold ring. Nobody's caring about the consequences to themselves, children, the environment, bees. They don't care. Your thoughts, please.
Yes, and it seems like we have environmental agencies in government, but they've been captured by the industry, or they've been subdued by certain legislation that was lobbied by the big industry, and so we've lost our government. It's literally been captured by big business organizations like the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, which regulates the wireless industry, is actually in bed with the wireless industry. So We've really lost the big picture of health and wellness and protection of our environment. That's clear. And we don't seem to have anybody to rely on anymore because of the government association with big business.
That's actually very good. That's perfect. Why? Because as long as people choose not to be intentionally informed, they remain unintentionally ignorant, and therefore there's going to be consequences. So the moment someone says, I'm abrogating all responsibility for any choice I make in life except what I want to do with myself, what I want to eat, what I want to drink in this moment, that's my body, my choice. And then we said, are you aware of the consequences of your choice? Yes, you should have freedom of choice, but there's a consequence if we make the wrong choice consistently. And then the person says, well, if it was bad, my government wouldn't let me buy it, and the FDA would ban it, and my doctor wouldn't want me using it. And I'm saying, but look at what the doctors recommended in the 1940s and 50s. So only when something gets so bad, only when it's been, as you said, so captured and hence corrupted, only when all power resides in so few hands and none of it is distilled down to the level where people can become a part of the mitigating factor, do you see a system as corrupting when it implodes on itself. Then you can rebuild a system. Can you show me a single paradigm in the world, a single one that has changed voluntarily because it was so bad it had to change? It didn't until it was completely imploded.
That's right. The disappearance of civilizations exactly from that, and we're headed in that same direction.
What do you recommend?
Well, I think we need a change in our educational system. We have a lot of people who are experts in minutia. That's the PhD in the United States, but hardly anyone understands the big picture, the systems approach, and so we're lost. We just have lost our way in terms of the systems, the ecosystems of nature, and our role as curators of this planet. We need to have a remarkable change of relationship with nature and realize we are creatures of nature, but we've stepped out of that role as destroyers of nature. And we've got to take back our responsibility and actions as humans to engage with nature appropriately.
We've got to also stop trusting people who say they're doing something on our behalf, including the green movement. I don't believe in the green movement at all, and I've been an environmentalist my whole career because it's been captured also by those like Al Gore and others. Remember Greta Thunberg came here? Behind her was George Soros and Bill and Melinda Gates, the foundations they own. She was, I think, honest and authentic in what she was trying to say, but behind it was carbon capture. That will do nothing to mitigate the disaster we're facing around the world from climate change, but it will put trillions of dollars into certain people's pockets. Now, my final question, when you look at the environmental and green groups supporting 5G, they're supporting 5G with the uninformed belief that it is less energy intensive. Our investigations indicate this is not the case when we looked at 5G infrastructure in its entirety, including the necessary satellite portion. It will very likely have a much larger carbon footprint. So what is your view about this? And shouldn't the environmental and ecological organizations and activists start becoming more active and vocal in opposition to 5G?
Yes, I certainly think they should. They must have been infiltrated then by industrial representatives or financial grease in order that they've come to such viewpoints. I'm just flabbergasted that they want 5G and they think it's going to be energy efficient. It's simply not true.
You're absolutely right. We're out of time for this segment, but Dr. Rubick will be speaking and giving a special presentation about the perils of fifth generation 5G wireless at the Union Theological Seminary Chapel next Monday at 7 p.m. The chapel is located at 3041 Broadway. That's between 121st and 122nd Street in Manhattan. And her website is frontiersciences.org. And I'd like to invite you back for a full hour on an upcoming Progressive Commentary Hour next Tuesday so you can lay out everything that you know about 5G. Or if it takes longer, we'll go longer than an hour. Are you up for that?
I'm up for that. Maybe not exactly next Tuesday because of travel, but I certainly look forward to that, Gary. Thank you.
We'll have you on then as soon as your schedule allows, all right?
Thank you, yes.
Thank you. Nice to have you with us. And go to prn.fm because we just posted Richard Gale and I's latest article on 5G and how it's cluttering space. We're hitting it from different angles, how there's going to be a disaster up there. Because Now you got about 1,900 working satellites. You're going to have 53,000, and they only have about a 5 to 8 year lifespan. So we're going to have hundreds of thousands of satellites and all that junk, and there's going to be some cataclysmic events happening. That's Dr. Beverly Rubick. You don't want to miss her lecture. And I wanted to offer everyone in this audience a very good special today. This is a fundraiser for our Progressive Radio Network. It's Suprema C, the large size strawberry. You're getting a lot of vitamin C in each quarter teaspoon, and you're also getting selenium, and you're getting bioflavonoids, and also some magnesium, manganese, potassium, and zinc. Not all vitamin C's are the same. This has been one of my most popular developed products for over 30 years. Now, I believe that we should try always to get as much of our nutrition from good, healthy foods and juices, but then we still need to supplement. And so I suggest certain basic supplements like a B-complex, vitamin D, vitamin C, coenzyme Q10. These are the superstars. Now, not all vitamin C's are the same. In fact, if you want, try your vitamin C, if it's not Suprema C, and see how much can you take before you end up with digestive disorders. Then take the same amount of Suprema C and see how much more you can take. Suprema C is quite simply the most powerful vitamin C that I've created, and it's the most popular. So at this time of year, when weather is changing, we want to keep ourselves healthy. And vitamin C is part of what we can do to keep ourselves healthy. And exercising and juicing are also part of that. So here's the deal on this special. It's a really good special. You're going to buy two Suprema C's. You're going to get one free, plus you get a free DVD of your choice. Now, I have a lot of DVDs, dozens of them. And whichever one you want, you get it for free. Now, this would normally cost $246.97, but it is only $110.38. That's it. Now, by any measure, that's $136 savings. $136 you're saving today. How do you do it? Simply call this number and speak with either Diane or Sandy. Call 877-627-5065. Again, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065, because you want the very best. And the very best in vitamin C, in my opinion, is Suprema C strawberry. Comes in powder form. You're going to get three total jars. This is going to last you a long time. And I'm guessing around a half a year. Plus, you're going to get a DVD of your choice. That's a great deal. 877-627-5065, because you care about your health. And every day, make sure you put a quarter teaspoon or more of Suprema C in your smoothie, and then take some with you throughout the day. And take it, well, maybe every 5 hours. That'd be terrific. 877-627-5065.